Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. We're so appreciative that you're part of the show with us on our mission to help strengthen the family caregiver. Part of that journey is dealing with some very tough realities, but we bring in people who have such expertise, have such knowledge and training to give us tips, encouragement, and some insight into this world. And one of the things we deal with as caregivers a lot is dementia. A lot of folks, in fact, after church today, I went to visit some friends of mine, and he's dealing with this, and it's a very, very tough situation for his wife. And I could just see the weariness on her face there. And so I'm grateful that Tracy Maxfield is here. She's an RN. She's a dementia consultant, educator, advocate with 35 years of experience working with dementia populations in the UK and Canada, certified in palliative care, dementia care, and gerontology, sits on the board of directors for Senior Outreach Society and Better at Home programs. Tracy, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Welcome.
Thank you, Pete. I'm delighted to be on the show.
Well, let's just jump right into the deep end of the pool. I was over there with some friends of ours today, an elderly couple, and he is basically what she said, he's sundowning.
Yes.
Tell people what that is.
Well, sundowning isn't an official medical term, but what we find is when people with a dementia, particularly in Alzheimer's, progress into that middle stage, towards the end of the day, they become so fatigued and stressed that they start displaying behaviors, which can become things like aggression, repetition. They may be trying to leave the home. They may be unduly anxious. And what we find is it typically happens at around the time the sun sets and darkness comes. As there's the change in light, many people with dementia start actually having hallucinations, and imagine that they're seeing things because of the shadows that are created also with the changes with the light. And so sundowning, most families feel it is very challenging. One way to help reduce that is actually to try and get the person as calm as possible. So what you would do is you would remove any unusual stimuli. If you have a radio on and a TV, you would reduce that and maybe replace it with some soft music. You would make sure that the rooms are very well lit so they don't see any shadows that they may interpret as maybe somebody standing outside hiding behind the bush. Another good thing is if they are feeling very anxious and they want to go for a walk, then go with them and allow them to expend some of that energy. But usually if they've done so many activities in the day to try and keep them occupied and busy, and they may have met a number of people, and we know that when a person with dementia has to engage with lots of different people and they want to try and appear as if everything is okay, it's actually quite mentally exhausting for them. And so they have a physical and an emotional fatigue. And so if it's not they want to go and have a walk, then accompany them. Distract them, talk about pleasant memories, fun times, allow them to have a bit of exercise and fresh air, and that may actually help them kind of allay their anxiety and settle back down. The more you try and fight what they're wanting to do, the more anxious and agitated they become. So another option is to maybe, let's play cards, or let's watch an old movie, or come and help me wash the dishes. Just something that will distract them from whatever it is that's on their mind that caused this change of behavior.
Well, and see, this is right here in front of my mind today because I just left these dear friends home just a few hours ago. And she's saying that when they were trying to help get him to bed, and she had assistance there to help, but he became incredibly abusive. I mean, flailing around, just spewing forth all kinds of stuff, bad language, everything, things that he's never done before. I mean, never. And you could just see the crushing hurt on her face as she was looking at a face that she's loved for a lifetime, hearing a voice that has cared for her for a lifetime, and now all of a sudden it's like a different person. And it's just heartbreaking to her. And so these are great tips. I mean, I'm writing this down as you say this, and I'm going to put this out on a podcast and blog post, and I'm going to make sure she hears this a little bit later if she's not listening now. I'd ask her to listen to the show today. I told her we're going to be talking about this, so I hope she can, but you never know when she's going dealing with the stuff she's dealing with. But this is a heartbreaking thing, isn't it, Tracy?
It is, and what we're finding is that it's as difficult as it is, it's not the person. It's not your husband that's actually saying that to you. It's the disease that has taken over the brain. And depending on the areas of the brain where the Alzheimer's has traveled to, if you want, if it goes to the frontal and temporal lobes, those are the areas that control inhibitions and social behaviors. And so Alzheimer's, I would say a great majority of them do have some kind of temporal frontal lobe involvement. And what they say is so absolutely horrendous. It's hurtful. It's horrible. It's gut-wrenching. But it's not them. It's their fear and anxiety. Obviously, when they were putting him to bed, he may have been extremely tired. He may have been thirsty or hungry. He may have been in a little bit of discomfort. And he may not be understanding who all these people are that are coming to help him. And so typically as adults, we have that inherent fight, flight, fright response. And we're going to protect ourselves because everything's confusing. I don't want to go to bed, but these people are coming and they're trying to get me to sit down. And then they're lifting my legs and then they're trying to change me. And I'm wanting them to get the hell out of here and leave me alone. And the only way they can express it is just with a volatile of profanity that is directed at the wife, but it's not him. And if for a moment she was able to step back in time and see her husband as he was maybe 5 years ago, he would be absolutely mortified that he would even say something like that to her. And that's one of the most difficult things that any caregiver with any person, young or old, with a type of dementia has when they start exhibiting the lack of social inhibitions and the behaviors. It's really difficult to see a very gentle, kind, sweet man become this very abusive tyrant because that is not him. And it's also embarrassing for the wife because she thinks this is what people think he's like, and it isn't. It is the disease in the brain, and that is why it is such a horrible, horrible disease because it just rips at your soul and it takes away what was once the person that you knew. And you've got to kind of try and let it go. It's kind of like take a deep breath and say to yourself, this is not him. I know in my heart of hearts he would never treat me like this. This is the disease, and tomorrow it's going to be a good day again because with dementia, I'm sure you've heard, you live in those moments. You create memories, special moments as they occur, and amidst all the heartbreak and some of the not so nice things that happen, there are also moments where the person that you knew years ago comes back, and it's just a very special moment, and that's what you've got to keep holding on to.
Well, and I told her today, I looked at her just very gently, and I said, he's not doing it to you, he's just doing it. And it's okay for you to not feel guilty, And it's okay for you to, she's got some folks that are helping her, that some hired caregivers to help her. And I said, let them deal with him at about that time of night, and you detach from that and don't feel guilty for doing it, because you're important. Your heart needs to be protected in this. He's going to be okay. He'll probably won't even know that remember that he did it. But
100%.
But she will remember, and it's like being stabbed over and over and over right in her soul, like you said. It is soul-crushing. And I saw the pain on her face, and it broke my heart. And I've seen this so many times when you're dealing with somebody who's under the influence of narcotics or disease or something, when they're in chronic pain and they're taking all kinds of anesthesia drugs or whatever. I've seen it all. And it is. It's soul-crushing, Tracy. That is a great word that you – it is. And so I thank you for giving us some insight into that. Tell us – go a little bit deeper in this and some ways that caregivers can just protect themselves from this, because they also I do martial arts, and I help teach self-defense on some – because I look at caregivers are often smaller women taking care of very large men who will grab them. And I show them how to get, when I go out and do live speaking events, I show them how to get out of those grabs easily without hurting themselves or their loved one. They'll choke them. You've seen all of this, haven't you?
Seen all of this, yes.
And so it's I try to teach caregivers on how to defend themselves without hurting their loved one, but making sure that they're safe.
Absolutely. And I think it sounds easy to say, try not to put yourself in that situation. But I think one of the really good rules to follow is, over time, you will see what are the triggers. It may be bedtime. It may be if the person is incontinent and now needs to go to the bathroom to be changed. Or it may be trying to get them into the shower. If you know what those triggers are, then kind of changing your approach, and it's a lot of negotiation and redirection. You don't use a lot of words. Your language has to be very simple and very clear that they can understand, and you don't give them too many choices. And it's explanation. You don't, and I know that loved ones do this, but sometimes I can imagine if you're very, very tired, because sleep deprivation is very common, and you are just emotionally and physically exhausted because it is a 24-hour job. And I think this is what people forget. You don't clock off at 5 o'clock. This is a
not hardly.
This is a 24-hour job. And nowhere else in any other employment in the world would you ever be allowed to do that. The unions would be jumping up going, illegal. But it's okay for informal caregivers to do it. And so what I would suggest is, when they can see the behaviors change, and it's usually the body language and the stance and the facial expression will change if they start maybe trying to pull or grab at the wrist or the clothing, or maybe become abrupt with furniture, or even the verbal abuse starts. That's when you need to start to distance yourself. So you start backing away to a safe place. You need a chair or a table, kind of as that protective barrier, just because people with dementia, when people get, even if it's their loved ones, when they are in a very confused, angry or anxious moment, and usually everything is related to anxiety and fear and their inability to make sense of what they are experiencing, they will act out. It's that, as I said before, flight, fright, fight.
Oh, yes. You're absolutely right. And we're up against a break here. I want to make sure, if people want to get in touch with you, Tracy, you are just a wealth of information. And by the way, you're going to have to come back. You know that, don't you?
I would love to.
You're always welcome. The people really are struggling with this. And here you come in here with just this gentle voice of authority that is so welcome and so appreciated. So thank you so much, Tracy.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Tracy, she understands this world. You hear that now. You hear that in her voice and what she's offering. And I know that there are people listening right now across the country. This is what we're about here at this show. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. And go to caregiverswithhope.com for more. We'll be right back for the close-up.